Shop the President's Day sale at Grand Appliance for unbeatable appliance deals and a hassle-free buying experience that includes fast delivery, expert installation, and personalized service from start to finish. Save now on top brands like LG with top-load washers starting at $5.99 and counter-depth max French door refrigerators starting at $18.99. Learn more at grandappliance.com or one of Grand's local showrooms in Indianapolis and Lafayette. That's Grand Appliance, appliance experts since 1930.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. So, let's see. The current temperature is 13 degrees. Jeffrey, how you feeling about that? How's the gate this morning? Yesterday, you were struggling with your gate.
So, gate opened today because I didn't have the ice and snow. Like, my driveway was
right.
was dry.
Clear. It's clear. Yeah. Well, what was yes. your drive? Drive was fine.
Drive was totally fine.
Totally fine. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
My parents are keeping my daughter because daycare's closed, and Aaliyah had to go back to work. But she's having a big day.
Your daughter?
Oh, yeah.
She's having a big day.
She had breakfast at Three Little Pigs with my parents.
That's like, great.
She's looking great.
A lot of folks are out again today. We are here, of course. With all the news you can use, 13 degrees is a little bit nippy, I'll say that. But it wasn't bad out, and so whatever. It certainly shouldn't keep you from whatever rounds you're going to be doing today. If you've got
to step out in the cold.
Yeah, you just have to step outside in the cold. And I actually this morning, now I don't have one of these fancy cars that you can hit a button and warm it up before you get into the car. When do you think that was invented?
I know. You could have it in 04.
Is that true?
Uh-huh.
Well, I went out. I did it manually.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, you know what?
Respect.
I don't want to be in the cold car. So I went outside and turned my car on. And guess what I did? Left it running in the driveway.
Yep.
In Memphis, Tennessee. But I was aware that that it's a 2006 minivan. And I felt confident that no one was going to come along, jump in it, and run and drive away with it.
Yep.
And so I drove here in a toasty vehicle. You have the automatic gizmo. Do you use it?
I do, and I did this morning.
You did this morning. How
yes.
long does it take to warm up? How long do you do that? 10 minutes? 5 minutes?
So mine shuts off if you don't get into the car.
And within?
Right. I want to say 5 minutes, probably, give or take.
Someday, I'll have a beautiful new car with all the gizmos.
I'll take you over.
And so that'll be lovely. Anyway, hope you're staying warm wherever you are. Today on the radio show, it's Thursday. So we got, every day we have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then I saw this, Jeffrey. I think there's going to be great excitement about today's. Cindy does a spectacular job tracking down prizes for Writer Than Write trivia every single week. And I think there's, you know what it is? It's just, it's me. It's my excitement. Like, some of these gifts that we give out, I'd never heard of the people, let's be honest, because I'm 63. I'm practically the age of the current, of the.
You've heard of these.
I've heard of these two. Yeah, what are we giving away, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we got tickets to go see the Outlaw Music Festival with Willie Nelson and family and Bob Dylan, June the 27th at the Radiance Amphitheater. That will be our prize today for Writer Than Write Trivia.
Okay, don't look. Within 2 years either direction, how old is Willie Nelson and how old is Bob Dylan? You think 2 years is fair? I'm willing to negotiate this with you if you want to negotiate a
yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to say Willie's 88.
How many years did I give you?
Two.
You should have negotiated. He's 91.
Dang it! I was actually thinking 90.
I'm trying to.
I was like 91. That's too. That's
you know,
too old.
Get the misses out now. Oh, the misses out now. He's 91.
I could have gotten that right on.
How old do you think Bob Dylan is?
All right, I'm gonna say 87.
83.
83. God.
You had him surrounded.
No, I'm upset. I was literally about to say 91, and I thought that was too old for Willie.
91 and 83.
That's what I'm upset about.
91 and 83. Did you watch any of the SNL 50?
I did. I watched the whole thing.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
I liked a lot of it.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of it.
But I knew it was a show that big, everything's not going to hit for me. But I thought overall, like, I didn't think that was
the wedding skits were stupid. I wasn't a big fan of the wedding skit. The wedding, you know, toasts.
Actually, that one kind of had some funny.
You
moments.
Liked it.
That one had some funny. I thought Molly Shannon was good in that.
What was interesting was I've consumed this the way one does on YouTube. You know,
sure.
And I didn't watch him. That's not true. I watched maybe 10 minutes of it live. I was doing other stuff, and then I caught on YouTube. And just last night, I went back and I watched the musical acts, right?
Yep.
And so I saw Paul Simon.
Yep.
And I saw McCartney.
Yep.
They both sang.
That was the bookends.
Those were the bookends.
Paul opened the show. Sorry. Paul Simon opened the show. McCartney Pauls. Closed the show.
I see.
The Pauls.
And let's be clear. They didn't sound like they did at their zenith. In fact, they sounded, particularly Simon, kind of struggling. But how old is Paul Simon?
Yeah, my guess was 82 on that one.
Paul Simon is 83.
All right, I got that one.
And McCartney is, what do you think?
I'm going to say 84.
82, so you get that one.
Okay.
And yeah, no, they sound like old men trying to sing. But that doesn't mean they're not. You know, I literally saw some people rip. What are you ripping them? McCartney actually thought I sounded pretty good.
Yeah, McCartney had more. The other problem is like McCartney had the wall of sound to kind of.
Well, they each had help.
Yeah,
right. They each had help. But I was willing
to give Simon a pass because I felt like when you watched it live, I think there was audio issues because when they even went to. Say live from New York at Saturday night, their mics didn't work. And I just felt like the way they were reacting the whole time was like something in their ears was off. Like, I think that the audio was bad.
So now, when is this concert?
This is June the 27th.
Okay.
My wedding anniversary.
What do you think, like a life insurance, an annuity person, so, you know, a life insurance person would tell you are the odds that Willie will be? Be at this concert. He's 91. It's June.
So I would say
I think once that, you make it to February,
right,
and you're probably going to make it to June.
Like, I don't think he'd be on tour
if he weren't in robust health.
Correct.
There are probably other 91-year-olds who wouldn't be on tour.
Right.
I think that's right. I think pretty good chance that he will make it. Anyway, that we're going to be giving that away. Have the tickets gone on sale yet?
I think they have.
Yeah. Anyway, that will be the Right and Right Trivia. We'll do that in the second hour. So Chris Harrington's going to join us in the second hour. Then we will play Righter Than Right Trivia. Grizzlies resume their season tonight against the Pacers. Let me ask you this. Are they underdogs in all three of the next three games, all through the weekend? You got at the Pacers?
No, they're favored tonight.
They're favored tonight.
Yes.
Pacers?
I'm seeing 2.5 currently.
Orlando and Cleveland. Pacers, you know, 30-23, fourth in the East, 6-4 their last 10.
That was Josephine's first game, so that was an interesting game in the sense that, like, the Pacers came out in the first quarter, and you thought, like, oh, my God.
This is in their previous meeting.
They're just going to absolutely run them out of the building. And then the game flipped in the second quarter, and the Grizzlies actually ran the Pacers out of the building. This is a game where the matchup's not really that bad for the Grizzlies because the Pacers basically want to play the same way.
That is true.
The Grizzlies have better players.
So anyway, that is happening tonight. The Grizzlies.
Well, and as Chris pointed out, the injury report.
Totally clean.
Wow.
Totally clean injury report. I was going to get to that. literally, the injury report is there's nothing. Nothing at all. How about that? So there you go. The Grizzlies will recommence their season. Half game up on Denver. 2.5 up on Houston. 3.5 up on the Lakers. And 5 up on the Clippers. How do you feel about the chase? The race?
So I think the real question is, because the Grizzlies and the Clippers have, Roser put this on Twitter yesterday, they basically have very similar schedules remaining. I think the Grizzlies have the third toughest remaining strength of schedule, and the Nuggets have the fourth. I think for me the question is, like, what is the number that you need to get to?
The number of wins?
Yeah.
To do what? To hold off who?
To hold off Denver, because that's who I think your main threat is.
You feel pretty comfortable about Houston. Obviously, Houston struggled after the hot streak that they had. They have not been.
I do.
So you don't worry about Houston. You don't worry about the Lakers. Lakers lose last night to Charlotte,
of
all things, as they are readjusting to the Luka experience. So it feels like between the adjustment that the Lakers are going through plus the fact that you've got a 3.5 game cushion, you feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah, like the team that I would actually fear, provided Kawhi remains healthy.
But five games,
but that's
five
a huge,
games is
that
a
is
lot
a
to make
huge
up
gap.
In 28. So that's a lot to make up in 28. So I feel pretty good about that. So then it's just Denver and Houston. How many games do you have to win? I mean, who the hell knows? Like, what kind of role is, do you have to win? Do you have to win 20?
That, my first thought in my head was 20 and 8.
You think 20 and 8 does it?
Because that gets you to 56. I think
okay,
that,
let me ask
to me that would be the goal.
This road trip, what do you have to go on this road? Here you go. I'm offering you 1-2 on this on the Pacers, Orlando, and Cleveland.
No, I think I'd take two, I think I'd
I'm offering you 2-1, though. If I'm offering you 2-1, you take it. If I'm offering you 1-2, you wouldn't take it.
Yes. I think it's possible they're going to be favored against Orlando.
It does feel like, here we go. There is
yeah.
a certain here
no,
there, we go
it's
quality
like the time
to
is
it.
Now.
And this season, which has felt like between injury, adjustments, everything else, the way they were monkeying with the minutes at the beginning, not strategically deploying the minutes at the beginning, the deep rotation, the constantly changing cast of characters because of injury. I mean, Jake LaRavia, who was a central part of the rotation for a big part of the season, is now gone.
Yes. Not even on the team.
He's gone just because they didn't need him, not because, you know, whatever. Nothing came back. He just, we don't need him. So you're working in Gigi, you're working in Vince, hoping for continued stride, certainly by the rookies, not necessarily so much from Jalen Wells, because you feel like you're going to get what you get from him, which is good. But you like to see continued strides from Zach Edey. And then, of course, Ja Morant is at the center of all of it. What is Ja going to look like down this last 28 games? How many games will he play? Will he be healthy? Will he be engaged? Will he be his best self? The Grizzlies obviously need him to be. It was shortly after our show yesterday that Zach Kleiman came out, responded to Drew Hill. I want to stop for a moment and just say what an unbelievably great job Drew Hill does. And I know I'm biased on this, but between Drew and Chris, they just crushed the Grizzlies' coverage at the Daily Memphian. And Drew lately, if you haven't read the piece that he did on Desmond Bain, he went to TCU for Desmond Bain's jersey retirement, and captured not just the moment, he captured the essence of Desmond Bain, and it was really lovely. The last time that Desmond Bain had walked out onto the court at TCU to be honored, it was his senior day, and he walked out with the grandparents who raised him. And now they're gone, and he's walking out with his wife and kid, and he is so grateful to that place. He is so loyal to that place. He is so, and then he talked just openly about his obligations, and he started an AAU team, and he flew every member of that AAU team and their families down to this ceremony. Put them up in hotels, arranged for everything, transportation, everything, meals, everything. And so they could see what hard work can get you. And he just talked openly. You read the piece. He talked openly about the obligation that he feels and that he has as someone who has done as well, let's be honest, through hard work. Nothing was gifted to Desmond Bain as he has done. But anyway, in addition to that, it was Drew who reached out to Zach Kleiman yesterday and got the really, I thought, remarkable comment about the possibility that Ja might be traded during the offseason. We talked about this yesterday, that Howard Beck, highly respected NBA reporter, not just some, you know, dude who happens to tweet on the internet, whatever, had reported strong. He said that he was talking to an NBA exec who said, look out for Ja Morant. He could be, and if the Grizzlies flame out, that whatever. It was a passing comment, but it was from a highly respected reporter, and it was about Ja Morant. And it's kind of been a little bit, how would you describe it?
It's up and down.
Mysterious season for Ja. And so anyway, all of that happened. And so Drew reached out to Zach Kleiman, and this is what Zach Kleiman said. I can't blame other executives for fantasizing about us trading Ja, but it's just that, fantasy. We are not trading Ja. Continue to estimate Ja, this team, and this city, and we will let our performance on the floor speak for itself. I'm not going to give this nonsense further oxygen and look forward to getting back to basketball. Damn. So, I saw a couple people say, well, what was he going to say? That's what you have to say. No, it's not. Like, what GMs would typically say is nothing, A.
Word salad.
What?
Word salad and nothing.
They'd say nothing, yeah. Or they might just say, I'm not going to dignify that with an answer, or whatever else. They would brush it off. They would dismiss it. They would either not address it, or they would address it so dismissively as to barely even register as news. So I would ask you, why did Zach Kleiman respond the way he responded? Because, by the way, Zach Kleiman is not a guy who's out there firing off, you know, this is not Mike Heisley once upon a time, you know, just going off half-cocked, which he did routinely, which made him such a delight to cover in some ways. But why did Zach Kleiman do that?
I think number one, because they're not trading him. I think that's where I would start. And then I think number two, that is the type of answer that stops the distraction. And so this doesn't become a thing. You give out a strong statement like that, period, end of discussion. It doesn't become a distraction for the remaining 28 games in playoffs.
Yeah, first let's just pause and admire. I do wonder. I didn't ask Drew this. Was this statement written or was the statement spoken? I didn't ask him that. And therefore was it feels such a brilliantly emphatic statement. It feels like it's something that you would have crafted, right?
It feels written to me, but yeah.
So
the quotation marks just, are fantasy.
That's true. It has quotations in it.
Yeah.
I can't blame other executives. I did wonder if those aren't added by Drew,
yep.
That's a statement, is a written statement that they crafted. So they dismiss the word, they dismiss the idea that these people were executives by putting quotes around the word executives. Then the word fantasizing, that's a perfect word, fantasizing about us trading Ja, but it's just that fantasy. We're not trading him. There's the declarative statement. And then he just goes for the, like, I'm going to play this up to my city, my team, whatever else. We're going to play. Literally no one underestimated. In that report, there was no underestimating of the Grizzlies. There was no trashing of the Grizzlies. There was nothing. Like, he brought in the disrespect as a way to amp up and play to the crowd here. This is a professional wrestling kind of statement here, because he then goes to say, continue to underestimate Ja, this team, and then he threw it in for good measure because he knew it would appeal to all of us and this city, and we will let our performance on the floor speak for itself. I'm not going to give this nonsense further oxygen and look forward to getting back to basketball. He threw in this city. As if this was and mind you, people do love to kick this city. But it resonated. Like, it was brilliantly done. This was This was absolutely worthy of the best of the Mid-South Coliseum and those halcyon days of wrestling in Memphis.
Yes, I agree. The only thing I would push back on a little bit, though, is while I guess you could make the argument you have to interpret it, I think in the anecdote that Howard was telling, it's like
flame out again.
Yeah,
is it the flame out again.
It was kind of
is dismissive of
it's
the
like,
Grizzlies
because well, he was saying like, watch for Ja Morant if they flame out again. But that was also to me like that's kind
how
of,
is that crapping on Memphis? Like if you had said that about Giannis once upon a time in Milwaukee,
yeah.
That's not criticizing Milwaukee.
No, I'm not saying it's criticizing the city. What I am saying is to me, there's the implication of, and I think they're going to flame out again in the playoffs.
Maybe.
Because otherwise, if you think that...
Why would you talk about it?
Right. Now, I agree that's up to interpretation.
I love finding disrespect everywhere. I think you have to reach pretty hard to find disrespect in that comment, but I do admire Zach Kleiman for finding it and responding to it and rallying. Listen, I saw Jessica Benson wanted it on a T-shirt. Like, it's a long, she pointed out, long quote for a T-shirt.
Probably going to be on the back of the shirt.
But it would have to go front, back,
yeah.
Whatever. It was a brilliant quote. I think you're right, though. The reason it was so emphatic is he wanted to, I mean, this was the old kill a fly with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Right?
Blowtorch, yeah.
As NBA rumors or reports go, the jaw thing was a fly, and he took out a blowtorch. And eviscerated it. And why did he do it? Because he wanted to stop it dead in its tracks. But the other reason he wanted to stop it dead in its tracks is because he knew that it could otherwise linger because of the stuff we've talked about, right? Because of the, like, let me ask you this. Doesn't Joss sometimes look unhappy to you?
Yes, he does.
Right. And so all of a sudden, you got trade rumors kicking around, and all of a sudden, he has a bad game, and you can just imagine Ja saying, "Oh, they want to trade me now. They want to trade me," or like he'd be making that up in his mind. There's no evidence anyone what, but you could. Oh, well, then trade me then. You know, like I think you want to stop it from the greater NBA perspective, but I think you want to stop it from internally the internal perspective as well.
Agreed.
You're sending a message to Ja. To everyone in Memphis and to everyone across the league with this. That's why it had to be so unusually, really remarkably emphatic. So there you go. That was done. Now, we also had the report that one of the Memphis Grizzlies, we had the Chilean gang. Chilean, right? The
robbers?
Yeah, the robbers. Where are they from? Aren't they from?
Why did I think it was Venezuela? I mean,
No. You're just they're the people eating dogs. I think.
Okay.
Which of course, let's be clear, they are not. We had this. We knew about this.
You're correct. Chilean burglars. Yes.
Yeah. I listen. I don't. I've never been one to confuse Chileans with Venezuelans. Totally different. So. We had heard about these string of burglaries as robberies, burglaries, I guess burglaries, as athletes were performing.
Playing high-profile games.
Patrick Mahomes was a victim. Travis Kelce was a victim. Joe Burrow was a victim. Bobby Portis was a victim. And we have now learned that one of the victims was a Memphis Grizzly. Now, there is no report that identifies the Grizzly. It's an unnamed player, according to the FBI, an unnamed player. They're not releasing the name of the player, but the AAP report didn't say this. The ESPN report went into some of the particulars. Burglarized during a December 19 home contest against the Golden State Warriors. Unnamed Grizzly player's home burglarized during a December 19 home contest against the Golden State Warriors. The equivalent, like if you're just asking who was it most likely to be, it's who's the Patrick Mahomes of the Memphis Grizzlies, Jeffrey?
That would be Ja Morant.
Yeah. right? I mean, if you had to guess, this is totally wild guess.
Yes. Well, it's
based on nothing other than high profile, right? Now, it was Bobby Portis in Milwaukee. It wasn't Giannis, right? So who knows? Could have been Jared. I feel bad for whoever it was. I hate to say this. I do take some comfort in the fact that this was not a Memphis-specific burglary.
Yes.
You know, like this was happening everywhere. It was happening in Kansas City, and it was happening all over. It was happening in Tampa as well. Happened in Dallas, Tyler Seguin, the NHL player, Aluka, as well. It happened all over the country, and I do, this is just sad, it's too bad.
So that's why Luka wanted out.
I take some comfort in that, but, that certainly is, if you were going to be unhappy, stole $1 million, by the way. That's what the report from the Memphis player.
I think that also, to me, would imply it's at least Ja, Dez, or Jaren.
It's someone who has.
Yeah.
You could have $1 million and be.
Yeah, I mean.
Let's be honest. I don't think Zach Edey.
I don't think Zach Edey. I don't think any of the rookies. I mean, I guess you could say maybe Marcus Smart. But, I mean, you got to have a pretty big contract to have $1 million lying around.
So, anyway, that happened. That happened as well. And then finally, we had all kinds of Grizzlies news yesterday. We got the news about Tony Allen. We got more information about Tony Allen and the night that he will be honored, which I think is March 15th. Isn't that the actual date? I think the date is March. Let's just double check. Yeah, March 15th. His number will be retired. The first 5,000 will get this record album of his highlights. They're going to have Grit Grind t-shirts.
They're calling it a commemorative vinyl record.
Yeah. They did those for Mark and for Zeebo as well. And then they played the trailer. Michael Blevins is the person who does such a spectacular job of putting together the film. And they really are. They're films about these players. And I have to say, just watching it, stirred my heart, Jeffrey. Did you watch the trailer? You got to watch the trailer. Maybe we'll play the trailer. It stirred my heart.
So, did you want me to play it?
Oh, do you have it?
I do.
Oh, let's play it. Here's the Tony Allen trailer. Your trailer.
I wanted it to be known that I'm the best defender in the league.
Allen takes the ball away from him.
Tony Allen is the toughest defender I've ever had to go against.
You've got to love how this guy works relentlessly to battle one of the elite scorers in the NBA.
He is a disruptor out there.
We all know that when he would match up with you, you're in trouble on that.
The true competitive nature of people like that, it comes from the environment that you grow up in.
Not a lot of people walked a mile in Tony's shoes.
Chicago is gonna test you. I was a product of my environment, let's just say that.
All I hear is bullets flying past my head.
My life could have been taken from me at the age of 16.
There was no one better in terms of playing with toughness. He fit in real well.
The Boston Celtics select Tony Allen.
I just saw how hard he was. I was like, damn.
I'm a champion right now.
We blew it. He should have never been a Grizzly.
It's just our heart. Grit, grind.
Who he was who the Grizzlies were.
I think coming to Memphis, I kind of found a home.
I'm going
to
go all the way out for what I'm riding with.
First team all defense.
And what I'm riding with is the Grizzlies.
Yeah, just stirring stuff, and I can't wait to see the film. Tony, an all-time favorite, obviously, and deservedly so. It is kind of amazing. I liked the comment from Doc Rivers. He should never have been a Grizzly.
Yep.
Which is like they screwed up. You know, they screwed up. The Celtics did by not keeping him. Chris Wallace Gets lots of criticism for lots of things. And in fact, even some of the things he did well, he doesn't get credit for.
Sure.
You know, the Mark trade,
yep.
Right? Ah, lucked into Mark, right? And
they had a shame to be.
Mind you, they made their mistakes, massive mistakes. But they had traded a first-round pick for Ronnie Brewer that year at the end of the previous season, basically another wing player, had given up a first for him. He then got hurt. And then he was going to be a free agent. It was kind of a rental, but I think it was a rental. Yeah, but then they let him walk, and they went and got Tony Allen. And it was, at the time, a pretty underestimated. Like, people weren't talking. There was no high-fiving because the Grizzlies had signed Tony Allen. But absolutely changed the nature of the franchise. All right, we're going to take a break. We got second hour. We got Righter Than Right Trivia. We're going to be giving away tickets to Willie Nelson. What's it called?
The Outlaw Music Festival, yep. With Willie Nelson and family and Bob Dylan, June the 27th, Radiance Amphitheater.
And we'll talk to Chris Harrington in the second hour as well. Lots more to talk about. Before we do that, before we break, I will remind you that if you were looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union, I do seriously look into it, because that's what we did. Like, we looked into it. And so whether you're looking for a home loan or whether you're looking for a car loan or whether you're just kind of fed up, with your financial institution, Leaders is a place to, at the very least, explore. They got a brand new, they just did a grand opening of their offices out there in Arlington. They've got another branch office in Bartlett. The technology is fabulous. All you really have to do is download the app and you will see what I mean. But every dollar, because it's a credit union, you're a member, you're not just a customer, every dollar goes right back into better services, better technology, better rates. It's Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Chris Harrington next, then Believe It or Righter Than Right. Not Righter Than Right. Then Righter Than Right. I'm sorry. Now we're going to play Believe It or Not. Hey, Jeffrey, the NCAA was right to correct a grave injustice and change the Memphis Tigers' win against San Francisco to a road win rather than a neutral.
I do believe that. They played in San Francisco.
they played
like when Gonzaga plays at the Spokane Arena rather than their home arena, the Kennel, like it's still a road game.
This vaults the Tigers, by the way. Plus, by the way, the Wichita State loss, it's now a quad two. It was a quad three loss. Now, mind you, borderline, like could slip back any moment now to being
correct.
A quad three again. It's on the border, but there's some good news. The Wichita State loss is now a quad two as opposed to a quad three, and this gives the Tigers an additional quad one win. The win over San Francisco is now a quad one win. It bumps the Tigers in the net ranking. Listen to this, Jeffrey. From 49 to 48.
Moving on up.
Still good, right? Better than the alternative.
Better than the alternative.
Let's be honest. And it was not a damn neutral. It was not a neutral. And so justice has been served. Luka's going to ruin the Lakers, Jeffrey.
No, I do not. I do not believe that.
They're 1-2.
I mean,
lost to Charlotte last night.
They, you know, the Hornets did hunt Luka on defense. So hashtag Nico was right. I just think that's
it's just silly. He shot he shot 5 of 18. He's not going to continue to shoot 5 of 18. It was ridiculous. Oh, let me put it a different way. Hey, Jeffrey, if there's a last-second shot between Luka and LeBron, you want LeBron to take it.
I want whoever's more open to take it. So, yeah, I have no problem with LeBron taking
the shot.
It's
funny, though. This one, there was not enough time really to determine who was open. Right?
Correct.
It was going to be an inbounds play, and Luka was the inbounder. And so they made the decision, and I don't have any problems with it. Luka was, as I said,
they got good looks.
Luka had shot 5 of 18 for the game. LeBron he'd scored 16 points in the fourth quarter. He was 6 of 8 for the game, 2 of 3 from three. Like he was the right person to take the shot, and I thought that was fine. I don't mind that they are a flawed team that has some adjusting to do because, as we said, they are a mere 3.5 game behind the Grizzlies, so I find some comfort in their struggles. Mark Williams, by the way, the one-time Laker.
Mm-hmm. On paper?
On paper. A paper Laker.
Yeah.
Will it someday? No, it never will. The trade didn't go through. It will never in his bio if he doesn't ever.
Yeah.
It will never say played for the Lakers. 29 minutes, 10 points, 9 rebounds for Mark Williams in that one. Lakers were, you know. Rui was 1 of 8 from three, right? Like
they scored 97 points, and that's a team that one thing we do know about them, they're not going to be a particularly great defensive team. So if you score 97 points, they're probably not winning.
Tonight's Four Nations final between the U.S. and Canada, bigger than any Stanley Cup game that will be played this year.
So, all right, what would the setups be? Like, if Matthews play?
Matthews can play Connor McDavid. That's true. One's in the East, one's in the West. Yep.
This still feels like, though, the answer is yes. I believe this.
Well, it depends what you're talking. It depends what the. What we're defining for. Is it bigger for hockey? I think. Will it have better ratings?
My guess is yes.
I think yes. I think it will be bigger for hockey.
Well,
I need to double check. Ratings.
I'm nearly certain this is a TNT. Stanley Cup year. So the answer would definitely be yes.
But it's not like for people who really care about the teams, it's not bigger.
Right. I agree.
I mean, if you're a Toronto fan or whatever, if you're literally a fan of any team that makes it to the Stanley Cup finals, all those games will be bigger in those cities. Hell, every playoff game will be bigger in those cities, right? In a first round playoff game will be bigger for the Carolina Hurricane than anything that happens tonight. So if you.
But is tonight a bigger night?
Tonight is definitely a bigger night for hockey.
But is tonight a bigger night in Boston than if the Bruins had a first round playoff? Because my guess is yes on that.
Maybe because it's in Boston.
Correct.
But also, like, If Boston were the team that it were 2 years ago, for example, when it was when the I think
set
it won the President's Cup,
yeah.
like whatever, like then you wouldn't be talking like Sam talked about this the other day. If you're a team that's basically kissed the season goodbye, which is true for Boston, then I mean fans have they're still in the playoff hunt, but yeah, for hockey, this is I think it's big. People we keep and those fights. I hate to say it. The fights lit up. People like took notice, and they're going to watch tonight, just wondering if there's going to be more fights, or they know they're at least aware of the intensity, right?
Yeah,
because
of the
fights.
I think in a day and age where far too often we're watching more sports and we're trying to kind of figure out what is the significance of this, you don't need like a think piece on this. You can just tell it's intense, and they just are trying to do everything they can to win. Like what I think is more interesting is. This is something that I think we would be kind of designed to roll our eyes at, right? Made for TV, clearly, you know, clearly kind of a cash grab. But the fact that it has been, the competition level has been so intense, like, I think that this is, like, that's a striking thing for me.
Yes, you can't, we love real competition.
Yes.
And then the other thing is that we love the, you know, the American jersey and the Canadian jersey. And hell, at a time when they're booing anthems and everything else. Now, it's interesting because when the actual Olympics are played, the hockey doesn't particularly rate, right? Hockey isn't what in
well,
the Winter Olympics.
The last time we had this set up, it did. And this is my fear. Are we watching a remake of the 2010 Olympics?
Well, that's that when the U.S. won the first. Oh, yeah, very possible. Tonight's game is absolute coin flip. In fact, if you look on your wagering sites, I bet it's. Totally 50-50. Is there a favorite?
So when it opened, the U.S. was a slight favorite. I have not followed me. I'm double checking right now to see if it has moved.
The U.S. banged up. I would not think the U.S. is the favorite now. I would think it would be totally pick 'em.
Okay, so.
But my point was this, is that hockey doesn't, generally in the Olympics.
It is truly a pick 'em. Yeah. Minus one in either way.
Hockey in general Olympics isn't what, it's not like figure skating. Figure skating is what the networks want to show more than hockey. But here's the thing. We don't have anything else with the American flag on it right now being played. And so it's our only patriotic choice. And we know it's been intense. I certainly will be watching. Jeffrey, you are enjoying the smack talk between Cam and Shador. Cam Ward and Shador Sanders were caught smack talking. You find this to be highly entertaining?
I have to say I don't believe it because this is
you
something
don't.
That this and it, I want to be clear. It didn't even get on my radar
until I just said it.
Correct. So the only thing I saw this week was Shador saying all he does is play Madden with the Browns.
Well, here we go. Here I'll give you some of the, I'll give you. So they were working out together, okay? At UNLV. In a video shared by Well Off Media, whatever that is.
Probably something Dion owns.
And Cam Ward says, they give you a completion percentage award, and all you did was throw checkdowns and bubble screens. That's actually crazy. If I did that, my completion percentage would be 90. I throw the ball downfield. You don't. How do you feel about that?
Anecdotally, I like that from Cam because I do think Cam does chunk it down the field. Now, I don't think all Shador does is, I don't think he's like just captain check down. I do think he's safer with the football, but that's also, like you can make the argument, that might be a better thing. Like he does not put the ball in jeopardy like
right.
Cam does.
Here's more Cam Ward. You ain't do what your team needs to do to win the bowl game, Ward said to Sanders. Now, mind you, I have to say,
this is a tough one for me.
It's a tough one is because what do we want from our quarterbacks? Decision-making, right? I think
talent.
I think yes, but then you also want some discernment and decision-making,
yes.
Right? And I think if you're Cam Ward, you can't bring up the bowl game. I think it's because what do you get? Here's what happens. Sanders immediately responds, you didn't either. You quit on your team.
At half.
He said you quit on your team, but it was implied at half. So I think that's a problem for
You can't bring up bowl game. You can't. Here's the problem that I can already tell you I have with this. I would need to go watch the tape this feels orchestrated.
Well, that's the problem.
This does not feel authentic.
If they are, in fact, yeah, I'm literally only reading the quotes, not you know. So he goes, Shooter Sanders goes to get something to drink, and Cam Ward says, I hope you're not getting no water. We just had the first drill. That's how it is in Colorado, though. That's what it's like for a 9-win man. Sanders says, I don't drink, I didn't have water. I drink Gatorade, the S I get paid for. Ward, that's cool. I don't need to get paid. Football pays me. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And back and forth they go. Do you have, because it does feel like the Giants, it feels like the Giants are going to draft a quarterback to me.
So,
well,
Do you
believe that? You don't believe that?
I think the Giants are going to try to do, I don't know which I would prefer, but I think what the Giants are going to try to do is go hit the veteran market and then trade back. Because they have, like, let's be clear.
The veteran quarterback market.
Yeah.
For?
I mean, this is the problem. When you announce that you're basically making your head coach and your GM lame ducks, that motivates them to make decisions in the short term that give them the best chance to keep their job.
That's why I think they're going to take a quarterback, is because if you have a quarterback who looks promising in year one, then you keep your job. And if you don't, you don't. And it doesn't.
Yeah,
so what's the worst thing that can happen? You whiff. Who cares? You're going to lose your job anyway.
Yeah, but in a lot of these football guy minds, it's like if you can get a veteran team, you can kind of like navigate your way to 9-8. Because that's the other thing.
Okay, so who do you think they're going to get? Who's going to get them 9 wins? Who do they think might give them 9 wins?
They'll probably talk themselves into Darnold.
It's funny. I'd heard a lot recently about Darnold, Raiders Darnold. Seems like a possibility.
I think that
the idea is can Pete Carroll do for Darnold what, you know, he's the new Geno. He's
right.
The new Geno, right?
And I think also the Rodgers to Vegas thing kind of died. So, I mean, there was the Stafford reports. I don't particularly buy that. And also if you're Stafford and you're leaving LA,
Stafford just wants more money. Stafford wants a new deal, and it's just a
right. But Schefter made this point though. If they can't figure out what that number is that right. satisfies both parties,
yes.
If I'm Stafford though, and I'm moving, like I'm not going to the Giants. Like I'm trying
why?
To go.
Yes. Why would you go to the Giants?
Right. Like Steelers.
Steelers.
And
like, that would scare me a little
Stafford
bit.
Kind of feel like a yeah, Steelers quarterback.
That would scare me a little bit. Yeah. Okay. You like this idea of playing games in college football.
I don't believe it.
Okay. Let's set the context, by the way. Obviously, the Big Ten, SEC have been talking, right? And the only thing they really addressed yesterday publicly was they did say they would like a new seeding system for this year. And that's the one thing they can't dictate. That would have to be unanimous. We agree. Jeffrey and I both agree that the seeding system was kind of a joke this year, and you don't want to have the four champions have automatic top four seeds. It was a little preposterous. So the SEC and the Big Ten did agree that they would like to change the seeding system, but that's the one thing they can't just do by waving a wand.
Right.
This year, this last year, it may remain the way it is because it has to be unanimous. They didn't actually address whether they're going to go to the expanded 14-team playoff in 2016 with the four berths reserved for the SEC, the four berths reserved for the Big Ten, the two berths for the ACC and the Big 12, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Although everyone seems to believe that's the way this thing is headed, right? Everyone does believe that's the way this
yes.
thing is headed. And as part of that, the idea would be instead of having a SEC championship game, you would have an SEC play-in game?
Play-in games.
Flames. So the champion would get in.
And
the runner-up would get in?
One and two So Texas and Georgia in this scenario from
would
this
have been in.
They're in. Three would play six. Four would play five.
And that would be instead of the SEC championship.
Correct.
Why don't you like that?
So
I don't like the reserving four spots for the SEC. I think it's unnecessary and greedy and overkill and all of that. But if you're going to do it, I don't hate this. You don't like it. Why?
I think we're verging into a possibility of too many games. And included in this would be a 9-game SEC schedule. Right. All right, so we're saying 9-game SEC schedule, then they're going to have to play a play-in. They will get into the first round. Like, I do, I guess, accept that this creates incentive to be one or two, like that you technically get a double bye. I also think there's going to be kind of a tough sell. It's like the conferences view these games in the same way the NBA views their All-Star game. It's our chance to do business, like, get our deals, like, I feel like it's a lot tougher sell with your corporate partners, the SEC play-ins versus the SEC championship game.
It also feels like, I mean, again, I do not have strong feelings about it. I have mixed feelings about it. It does feel like holding up the SEC championship trophy after you win a championship game is something that whatever happens in the playoff, like, you are the SEC champion. You just won it on the field. And it's different than the sort of regular season trophy that you win. Like, there's no triumphant moment there. It might work out that there is on some your last regular season game, conference game, you'll clinch the championship, whatever. But playing for a play-in does not have the same kind of drama as playing for the championship. It just doesn't. And so you're taking away that, right? And instead you're giving people two wild card games.
Yes. And then, I don't know. Like, to me, it's like we're now starting to get to the point where I do wonder if we are, like, playing too much football. Because, like, in the end, like, it just was such a war of attrition. I get it. Football is a collision sport. Injuries are part of it. But I also would argue this. Like, I don't think the gauntlet of the Big Ten is the same as the gauntlet of the SEC.
And so the SEC is going to be more of a...
I mean, like, I wonder this. If Carson Beck doesn't get hurt.
Oh, no, I heard you say this yesterday. Could that game have turned out differently? Of course, yes.
And are we doing all this?
Am I doing all what?
Oh, is the SEC so motivated? Like, if Georgia were to have won, and I'm not saying they would have. I think Ohio State was the best team they won. But let's envision a world.
Right, I see. Would we have done all this?
Right.
I see. Would we be changing it up? Are you literally just reacting? I think you're overreacting 100%. All right. Other things. We got Chris Harrington coming up next. Then we got Right and Then Right trivia as well. A couple things I did want to mention before we break. One is shout out to Missouri yesterday, beating Alabama in a high scoring affair, 110-98. Dennis Gates, how about that?
Yeah.
There's hope, people. You go winless in the conference last year, and now he's got 20 wins, just beat Alabama. That Alabama team, fun. Don't guard, you know?
Don't guard, and I don't think they're quite the lethal shooters that they've been the last couple of years.
And then you got to give Arkansas credit. Like, that win, if they could have somehow pulled off beating Auburn, it would have been – there's no shame in losing to Auburn.
No, but I mean that –
but it was an opportunity.
That was the type of one that, there, like, propels you back into the real discussion.
Absolutely. That was a rock fight. Is that what you call it, a rock fight?
Yeah.
7 of 43, the two teams combined to go.
It was just gross.
It was absolutely gross. And then, by the way, just little interesting things from the Daily Memphian today, Jeffrey. See this story? So far this year, police officers in Memphis have been involved in, and take a wild guess, how many accidents?
Oh, God, this is the follow-up from last year. I'm going to say.
I guess it's just this year. So I think we're only talking January and, you know, a little bit of February. Or half of February. A little more than half of
30?
February. It's the 20th. 50 accidents.
Okay.
And they figure out who's at fault in these accidents. So, of the 50 accidents, how many do you think the Memphis police officer was at fault?
I'm going to use, like, last year's. I think it was around, like, 30%, 35%.
26 of them. More than half of them.
This is such a tough, like, by letter of the law, they at fault. Like, okay, like it's like if
that they determine who was at fault,
right? But like, what if they're
now? I don't know how they. If you're in a quote unquote high speed chase,
yeah,
I don't know if you're then at fault if you hit somebody.
This feels like one I need more.
I would think that in a high speed chase, it would be easier to be in an accident than just tootling around in my minivan,
right?
So they're obviously in more high. They drive more. They're in more high pressure situations. All of that, of course. There's a reason for it. I was still surprised by the number, though. There you go. Neither here nor there. We got Chris Harrington coming up next. Then writer, then write trivia. If you want to win tickets to see Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson.